give me, in the Old Testament, two intercessors. And if I ask you why, you're going to have to be able to tell me why I think this guy's an intercessor, or this guy or girl. I mean, the Old Testament's made up of like basically two people, males and females. People who stand in the gap between man and God and intercede on behalf of men. Anybody? Moses. Listen, I'm giving you a hall pass. I won't even ask. There's too many places you can say, well, you know, here and at this place. Okay, give me another one. Good. What are you thinking of specifically? Sodom and Gomorrah. And God stood in, Abraham stood in a gap. Yeah, that's very good. That would probably be the first two I would think of. Any others? That's another good one. Esther, when she stood before the king, she pleaded on behalf of her people. Yeah, okay. Good one. All the prophets are to one degree or another. I mean, they're getting all these and, well, how come, Lord, and, you know, do you sure you want to? And yeah, I say all the prophets. You can. David, remember David? After he sent numbers the people, and then he buys the ruin of the Jebusite, his threshing floor there, and sacrifices and prays. Yeah. Okay, Jeremiah 15. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me. Uh-oh. We miss Samuel. You don't think of him. But I think in God's thinking, these are the top two. Moses, again, for obvious reasons. Samuel. Samuel stands between God and the people are doing wickedly often. And you remember one time the Philistines are wiping them out in battle. You know, Samuel grabs a goat or a sheep and sacrifices it and turns the battle right in the middle of the battle. Then the Lord said to me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them on my sight and let them go forth. Hey, remember in chapter 14, Jeremiah, stop praying for this people. We reeled last week with, what do you mean? What do you mean, stop praying? We don't stop praying. God said, no, stop praying. At this point, if I were to change my mind, if I were to turn back from judging these people, that would be inconsistent with my righteous nature. The time of grace, the time of forgiveness is past. I want you to stop praying for this people, Jeremiah. And we talked about, like, at what point do we stop praying for America? Well, listen, in my thinking, when God specifically has it in his word, stop praying for America, or visits me with a message such though that I couldn't deny it, otherwise I'm just going to keep on praying. But there is a time, because it happened to Israel. Will it happen to America? Well, I don't know that. I don't know that. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. But we can see that God says, I've had enough. I've taken all I can take. I can't take any more. Don't pray for this people. I don't care if Moses and Samuel were praying for this people. I could not change my mind at this point. Cast them out of my sight. Let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they shall say, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, such as are for the sword to the sword, such as for the famine to the famine, such as for the captivity to the captivity. Do you get to choose? No. But those are the categories, okay? One of those is going to happen to you. Captivity, sword, famine, or death. Well, that doesn't sound good. I know. God's moving out in judgment. And I will point over them four kinds. Okay? Again, do you get to choose? No. Four kinds, saith the Lord. The sword to slay and the dogs to tear, the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. I don't need you to go here emotionally every week. keep in the back of your mind, we're talking about real people, real events that really happened. If I painted a word picture of little children and babies lying in the street being pecked at by birds, nobody would like that, but this is kind of what's going on. Again, I want you to like kind of what I do. I think the words through, but I don't feel the depth of them. Because I'd be up here crying every week. I have children, I have grandchildren. You know, and if you start, you know, applying these things, this is nightmarish. But again, just focus on what I'm saying. This really happened. Sin is that awful. It's that wicked. It's that depraved. Is there really come a point where God really, really judges? Yeah. Where are we? I don't know. I don't feel like we're in a great place. God's blessing us. We're doing good, man. We are loving the Lord as a nation. We are just godly. Maybe not so much. I don't know what the abortion count is up to. Whatever, 56, 7, 8, 60 million. What? 57. Yeah. I don't even know what to do with that number. That boggles my mind. Isn't God patient? Wow. He's not indifferent. I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. He's saying, Manasseh? Yeah, Manasseh. And by the way, he's representative for all the wicked kings, but he's the most wicked. It's interesting to me, too, his reign was the longest. Manasseh, what do we know about Manasseh? He introduced, right in the temple precincts, he got rid of everything that even remotely resembled Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and he set up his false worship right there in the temple. And they did, worship the groves, and it was all bad. Everything was horrible. But now, somebody has to remember, large clue, remember what Manasseh's name means. Somebody has to remember, because we go over this from time to time. You have to remember what Manasseh's name means. It means forgetting. Interesting. Deuteronomy, God says, okay, I'm putting you in land, and when you get the blessings, and when the rain comes, and you get your crops, and your kid's calf, and your goat's kid, and your cow's calf, and all your animal, and all that good stuff, and you have plenty, don't forget the Lord your God, who's brought all the blessing. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Now, he says don't forget. Listen, it's not like you and I, like, we wake up Sunday morning, and there'd be some place we used to go. Wait a second, something, didn't we used to do something on Sunday morning? It's not like that. It's like to choose to put aside. We don't forget God in the sense of, I can't remember, is there a God? Didn't I used to worship him? But people are not here anymore who used to be here. And I'm not talking about like people have gone on other churches. God bless them. I don't care about that stuff. But I meant people have been really sloppy with their spirituality and have gone into a backsliding condition. They've forgotten. They've laid aside the things of the Lord for lesser things, obviously, is no more important thing. And that happens too often. Why? Forgetting. Don't forget. Now Manasseh, he was the worst of the worst. And he was king for 50-some years. People think that he's the one who put Isaiah in a hollow log and had the log sawed in half. You know, in Hebrews 11, when it talks about those who were sawn asunder, probably our boy Isaiah, he's a bad guy. And if you remember he was carried off into captivity where he came to repentance and God restored him, and then he was set up as king again. I don't know if you guys remember that. And then his son was a scoundrel just like him because he was older. But when he was, he had a grandson, a godly young fellow named Josiah, who the last few years of his life, he got to bring up on his knee and tell him about the graciousness of God. This wicked, vile man. And Josiah effected some real change. But he's saying, no, I'm going to do this. You know, look at this famine, this death, this sword, this captivity. Choose your poison here. The sword to slay, dogs to tear, fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. It's not going well. And it's all because of Manasseh. So God forgave Manasseh, but he didn't forget all the stuff that he had done and all the things that he had set in motion. That still has to, kind of like, there's still a payment out there. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saying, Lord, thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. Time's coming. I've changed my mind on this. I've moved the clock back too many times. Now it's happening. I'm weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people since they return not from their ways. Bereave them of children. Where's it going? God, you can't be like that, can you? Can God be like, he said, oh, I'm only doing what you've been doing right along. I mean, Manasseh, he's one of the ones who caused his children to pass through the fire unto Molech, if you remember that. Wow. You want to sacrifice your children? I'll show you what it really looks like. It's kind of the idea. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas, always the judgment of God. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. She that hath borne seven languisheth. And he's saying, well, obviously. No, not for the reasons you think. Seven sons here, by the way. Seven is in the... She's okay, she has seven sons, right? If you have a widow lady who has seven sons, she'll be all right. She got seven sons. She's going to be okay. Mom's got five sons. Mom's okay. Okay? Mom's a widow. But she's got five sons, so she's okay. It still works that way, right? In this day, to have a son is to have a blessing in your old age. Even if your husband dies, your son will take care of you. Well, she's got seven of them. She's fine. No, she's languishing. Why? Because they're all dead. She hath given up the ghost. Her son has gone down while it was yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. Even seven's not enough to protect you. No, this lady's in a bad way. The judgment's going to be complete. It's going to be total. Woe is me. Now, this is after all this. Jeremiah. In verse 10, woe is me, my mother that hath borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. What's that all about? Look, it's almost like Job cursing the day he was born, right? Listen, I haven't borrowed money off anyone so that they're like upset with me because I haven't paid them back. I haven't loaned anyone money, and I'm saying, hey, you know, chasing them around. Hey, where's my money that you owe me? You know, everyone still hates me. I'm not even. I don't understand why. It's not like I've been loaning money or not paying money back. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil. Hey. I know it's going bad for you now, Jeremiah, but you're the only one who's going to be delivered. I'm going to cause the enemy to treat you well. This is the first time he's promised this in the book. Nebuchadnezzar's going to come, but you're going to be okay. It's kind of good, but thanks, I guess, but everything else is going sideways. I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Shall iron break forth, break the northern iron and the steel? They can come, they got better weapons. That's kind of the idea there. Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. Hey, they're going to carry off all your stuff. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in my anger which shall burn upon you. They're going to carry you off into captivity. Oh, those are the ones who are going to survive. They're going to get carried off into captivity. What does Jeremiah say to that? O Lord, thou knowest. Remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. It's kind of like when he was complaining before, you know, pluck him out like sheep to the slaughter. And God says, Jeremiah, this is, you're getting weary running with the footmen. When you start contending with the horsemen, what's it going to look like then? He's kind of like the same thing. Look at verse 16. Are you surprised to find verse 16 there? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. This doesn't surprise me. When I'm between a rock and a hard place, when I'm up against it, emotionally, spiritually, physically, that's when God speaks a word in my life. That's when I need a word. And thy words were found, and I did eat them. The word eat is eat zealously. We would say devour. You know when things are going great for you, everything's just fine? The 5 minutes every month or so when things are really breaking your way. Everything's cool and nothing, you know, you pray your prayers and you read your Bible and stuff. I mean, I do. You know, but when things are really desperate and you're praying desperate prayers and you need answers, and when you finally get the word that comes to you, it's like you devour it. You need it. You're insatiable to hear from the Lord. And I think that's because he's in this place where he needs to hear from the Lord. And thy words were found, and I did eat them. What words specifically? I don't know. Jeremiah doesn't record them. They're his words that God gave to him for that particular situation. We would read them and would say, man, what's the big deal? But you know how it is when God speaks to you? Oh, it's just the right thing to be said. It's just the thing that you needed to hear. Well, he knows how you are. He knows how I am. But it doesn't last. And I don't think, because he gets the word, but look, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Really? I know your job title is pretty tough, but look at this. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Hey, you're not dependable, Lord. You're like water, but you're not living water. It's like for a time, but then it's gone. Are you like that to me, Lord? Are you like a liar? Excuse me, Jeremiah. I think you just went a little off the deep end there, didn't you? And God calls him on it. I think this, now watch, because I think this is very important. Have you been bitter and angry at God because of unexpected, unanswered prayer, unexpected? You have these expectations and they don't play out the way you think they might. Now you're all like bad, mad and upset and everything else, and you're accusing God of things. And therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, you've got to figure that out, Jeremiah. You can't be thinking I'm a liar and telling people all about me, and it's not going to work out that way. Thanks for your service, but we have some lovely parting gifts. I can't use you. If thou return, then will I bring thee again. Well, I can use you if you repent. You got to sort this thing out. Look, I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me if thou take forth the precious from the vial. Hey, you got to settle this stuff in your heart, Jeremiah. I've never lied to you, not once, not ever. And I've never let you down. I told you it was going to be very difficult, didn't I? Well, it's being very difficult. Thou shalt be as my mouth, if you repent, is the idea. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Listen, don't go be like them. They're the ones I'm bringing judgment against. You want to go act like them, really? It'll go for you like it went with them. Heck of a good day. Repent, work this stuff out to sweeten the vial. I mean, you gotta sort this stuff out in your mind. I can still use you, but you have to return to me. Don't return to them. Is it hard to be the only, the standalone? I don't think that's given to us. I mean, are you Jeremiah? Are you the only one? Are you? Sometimes we all feel that way. And there's that place of sanctified loneliness. Listen, I get that. I understand. I mean, I totally do. But God's probably given you people who feel the same way you do. Sometimes, you know, you feel like you're the only one like that. But therefore, thus saith the Lord, if you return to me, I will bring thee again, that thou shalt stand before me. If thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return to thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. He's saying, what's that all about? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 18. And we can go there right quick, because I almost think it behooves us to do that. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 18. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. You want to come back? Same deal. I didn't change. I'm promising you the same deal. You got to figure it out. You got to figure it out. And if you're bitter against God and for some imagined or maybe some real painful stuff in your life, I get that. He's not, you know, he reestablishes, he reaches out for me, calls him to repentance. He's got to call him on it. But this is what God doesn't do. I'm a what? Did you say liar? Did I hear correctly? Because I'm God. I mean, I haven't been around for a long time. Maybe my hearing's getting poor. You know, just zap him and he's like, turns him into a maggot and has him crawl away onto a gut pile and that's it. Waters that fail? I don't. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do it to you and he doesn't do it to me. Isn't he gracious? Isn't he good? And we have these little hissy fits, but he can't let us go on in it, but he doesn't overreact. You see what I'm saying? I think this poison, it has to vent out somehow. Don't vent it out at God, but God didn't get so worked up about it on the other hand either. Chapter 16, the word of the Lord came also to me saying, now apparently, these chapters aren't always in a row, remember that, it's reflecting the chaos of the time, or maybe they are in a row in this case, and they've already worked it out to the point where God's got his kind of next assignment. The word of the Lord came to me saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. You're not going to get married, you're going to be perpetually virgin. You're never getting married and you're never having children is the idea here. This is not the forebear for the Catholic idea of clergy or nothing like this. This is the only place in the Old Testament where God tells a prophet to forbear from marrying. Why? Because it's going very, very badly for children at this time. You don't want to have a wife. You don't want to have kids. He says, I would spare you from that in this particular situation. I will tell you this, that it's always the right time to have children. It's always the right time to have children. Having said that, my Achilles heel is my wife. Well, she's my great strength and support as well. But I mean, some people's like, they threaten me like, psh, beaten up by better than you, that ain't nothing. But it's like somebody threatens my family. That's kind of my Achilles heel. You know, I've got children. I've got grandchildren. Oh, I'm very, very vulnerable. Me? Oh, what are you going to do, kill me to death? Psh, ain't nothing. That ain't nothing but a thing. Oh, but our family? Well, now we're very, very vulnerable. I get that. So I see what God's saying. Hey, listen, one, I need you to be doing what I'm doing. You can't be domestic engineer guy. You gotta take care of business. And two, And kids, if you could see what's the future, what's going on, you gladly forbear. For thus saith the Lord, concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in the land, they shall die of grievous death. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. Again, you don't have to go there in your imagination. I'm going to read the words, but I quickly, and I don't want to describe them too much. And they shall be consumed by the sword, by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven, for the beasts of the earth. Now, if you think about what that's saying, let's keep moving. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. These things that he's saying here are specific taboos as they're given to us in Deuteronomy. Don't you make yourself bald for the dead. Don't cut yourself. You're not grieving like other people. Listen, when we say goodbye to someone who we love, who's a Christian, we're saying, adios, see you in the morning. Catch you on the other side. Hey, see you later on. Sad? Oh, of course. Of course. Who's saying it shouldn't be sad? Am I always a little bit jealous? No, I'm always a lot of bit jealous. True story. So we go around like miserable. And you know, this gypsy wailing and just cutting yourself and carrying on like it's the... We don't grieve like those who have no hope. It's told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he says, no, you're not supposed to be like that. And here they're doing all these things that God had forbid. I mean, they're not on board with God anymore. Not even in the way that they carry on for the dead. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation, drink for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. It shall come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Are you kidding me? You didn't get the memo? You guys are bad. Why is God picking on us? What did we do? Only everything. Only everything. Wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? What is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then thou shalt say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. Well, you want to, as long as you're asking, I'll tell you. And he tells them, and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore, you wanna go by your own way? Well, I'm gonna show you the end of your own way. Therefore will I cast you out of this land to a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. You want to worship idols? You go in the land of idols until you've had a belly full. I will give you the desires of your heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he hath driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Now, you got to almost wonder if this is like has like more than one fulfillment. He brings them back from Babylon, but Babylon's not really the land of the north. They attack from the north. But the land of the north, I mean, if you think of north of Israel, you got, Syria, Lebanon. You go north of that, you've got Iraq, Turkey. You go north of that, you've got, Russia. What north is he talking about? Well, he's brought him back from all those lands. You know, Israel has been, you know, come back from the whole planet. You know, if you want to know. And as far as like from Russia, yeah, many. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterward I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, from out of the holes of the rocks. For my eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. Now, you wonder if he's talking about this to restore, or you wonder if it's in the context of punishment. And that's not really exactly certain here. I will say this, if it's a restore, he says, I don't care where you've gone, I'll hunt you out, I'll fish you out, I'll bring you back. And I kind of hope that's the idea, because it looks like in the context. If you think, well, I'm getting away, listen, God's not going to get me, I'm going to just jump into this pool of water and hide under. No, I'll fish you right out. Well, I'm going to build a cabin out in the woods of Montana and get me some brown rice and, you know, plenty of ammunition, and, you know, God will never. And he said, no, I'll send hunters after you. They'll hunt you down, you know. Either way, because I think a lot of us sometimes we think like, you know, we're going to overcome judgment. I don't care if, you know, tribulation, if we're here during a tribulation, I'll make it through. I got my clever going on, and I know. You're dumb. God knows how to pay, you know, knows how to, but that, beyond all that, I think he's talking about, you know, bringing them back from wherever he sends them out anyway. And at first I will recompense their iniquity and their sins double, because they have defiled my land, they have filled my inheritance with the carcass of the detestable and abominable things. Now look at verse 19, it's very interesting to me. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say. That's interesting to me, being a Gentile. Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanities, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Really? People build gods? That's crazy stuff, Gentiles say, like us. And here, Jeremiah's prophesying that will happen. I think it has. I think, yay, you got it right, Jeremiah. Shall a man make gods on himself? And they are no gods. You can't invent a god. What a silly thing. Well, Gentiles have figured it out by and large. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. That Lord, all caps, Yod Heh Vav Heh. Do you know that? I do. Isn't God good? I'm not doing so good with my people, but I'm going to get some more people then. I don't know, just an idea. And I'm not talking that in a replacement theology kind of way. He brings his people back, and he said he would, but with all that, is a promise tucked away in there to us. Now, I'm going to start in chapter 17, but I'm not going to go, I'm only going to get the first eight verses in. And I'll show you why when I get to the eighth verse. And it'll go pretty fast because it's pretty straightforward. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. The idea of, you know, engraved is the idea. And with the point of a diamond, it is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. The idea of permanently written. What is sin of Judah? I'd like to think he writes our sins with a pencil, like a number 4 lead, writes real light, and with a big eraser. It's called the blood of Jesus Christ. I hate that our sins are that permanent. Here, he's not talking about you. He's not talking about you. He's talking about the sin of Judah. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. Remember the groves, shady activity, to be sure. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. You got a lot of stuff here? Well, it's all going away. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for you have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. The land covenant in the Old Testament is conditional, and the condition is sin and faithfulness. Here, I'm going to discontinue, you're going to be discontinued from your heritage. In other words, everyone out of the pool, let's go. Sin? Nope, you don't get to keep the land when you're sinning. What about now? Well, it's not conditional on that, but he did promise that when he brought them back, they'd never leave again. So I don't know if I'd put conditions on it, but I would say that his promises are just unilaterally. He didn't say anything, well, if you're really super faithful, you know, it's interesting to me, this whole idea of Jerusalem is, it's God versus Allah. I mean, think about it. Look, you're worshiping the wrong God if all the Jews are wiped off the planet. Just big, large hint. God said it's never going to happen. The Quran says it absolutely is going to happen. And God, the God of the Bible, and Satan, the God of the Quran, small g, have staked their reputations on it. I believe Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Creator God, the God, capital G God, is going to win. Call me crazy. All right. But here, he's saying, no, everyone out of the pool, he kicks them out of the land because of their disobedience. And he promised them he would in Deuteronomy. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Why would somebody do that? I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand that. Why would anyone trust in man? Well, I just trust in people, but then they always let you down. Why do people let you down? Why is water wet? Why would you trust in men? They have such a, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were talking about hopeful Hillary presidency and how she's going to deliver on, you know, national health care. Yay, go. And I'm like, okay, wait a second, before you criticize me. Hillary or anybody, okay? Or anybody. Fill in the blank, whoever you want. Why would you trust government to do national health care? Government's never fixed anything. I mean, come make your case, and maybe I missed it. Maybe I missed where government did something like really spectacularly well, and they wiped out the national debt, or they balanced the budget, or they, no. I've only been around since, I'm only 55. But I've been around when I was a little kid. Everyone's promised, you know, to give the poor a fair shake, and we're going to wipe out poor. We had this war on poverty now since I've been alive, and way before that. Do anyone know any poor people? Because they keep saying they're going to do this. I feel a lot better about the government fixing something if you just get one. Just there's a whole brokenness out there of a lot of things. You can just tackle one. Education, that's definitely been really, oh. Hope and change. You say whatever you want, but I'm on record now. He said he's going to get us out of Afghanistan and Iraq. We may be headed back in Iraq, at least we'll in some capacity. But he never got out of Afghanistan. You can look, you know, to in fairness, I've got an equal opportunity here. You can look back to other presidents and talk about their failures. Remember no new taxes? It caused them a whole second term, if you ask me. I'm talking about George Bush Sr. Read my lips, no new taxes. Oh, except for this new tax hike. And then he was voted out. Fix something. One of you guys, just fix something. Well, I'm getting far afield, aren't I? This is my point. This is my point. This is exactly my point. Why would we trust governments made up of men? Fallible men. Men who don't even want to fix things because I'd rather make it broken than I'll promise you that I can be the white knight. I'll charge in and I will rescue you, you dizzy damsel, you. You promise to keep rescuing me, but you never do, never quite get there. Why would you trust any man, whether they're in government or not? Cursed be the man that trusts in men. Well, why wouldn't you trust men? Well, because they're wicked. Look at verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Why would I trust a man? And when I mean man, I mean mankind, women, men. Don't trust them. Love them. Want to minister to them. Trust them. Oh, my goodness. Why aren't you trusting in God? I think, listen, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green, I don't care. Communist, I don't care. I don't trust men. I don't trust men. And with that is women as well. And I will vote, and I have always voted. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. He's going to be like a heath in the desert, and he shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness, in salt land, and not inhabited. You're going to be like a heath. It's like a little shrub. It's like a juniper bush. It's thick tumbleweed, right? Not a lot going on there. A lot of activity, no fruit, as it's tumbling across the desert. You know, not much happening there, right? Now, in contradistinction, look at, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. I trust in the Lord. Vote and trust in the Lord. Well, trust the Lord, then vote. Make a better vote, but here's the thing. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I don't know. I think if I keep pointing people to the Lord, I think I'm doing well. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters. Now this is back. So Psalm 1, isn't it? It spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of a drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Listen, it's drought. It's desert conditions. It's wilderness and what? Fruitfulness. Now, I endeavor to get us all the way to here. Why? Judgment's coming. In Jeremiah's day, to Jerusalem. In our day, I don't know. Eventually. Today, tomorrow, next week, this year. I don't know. Again, I don't know. I haven't got any. By the way, you think I pray? You think I ask God? I want to know. I mean, I know. I don't want to. I want him to tell me, no, not in your lifetime. Because he says to Jeremiah, and I must have skipped it somewhere. He says, look at chapter 16, verse 9. I didn't emphasize this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause thee cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days, the voice of mirth. So he said, you're going to see this. Because we're all like thinking like, well, you know, God, if you could judge America, if you judge it like 80 years from now, you know, when I'm dead and my kids are dead, you know what I mean? If we put it back far enough away to some other time, some other place, some other group of people, if my eyes don't see it, and I don't, it's not happening in my day, no, it's not the way it's going to be. But in Jeremiah's day, he says, your eyes are going to see it. But he says this, I know how to bless. I know how to, even in the midst of judgment, I know how to bless the man who's trusting in me. And we'll see a few examples of that at the end of the book. Not everyone gets judged. Most everyone does, because most everyone's ungodly and most everyone's wicked and most everyone's not trusting in the Lord. All right, we're going to end there. Look at verse 9, hearts deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know? We'll go there next time. People think I'm a cynical person. I'm just a biblical person. I love the Lord. He won't let us down. Men, they can't do anything but let us down. Why? Their heart, even if they mean, they promise and they mean to do well, they just don't have it in them. That's it. Okay, let's stand and we'll pray. And it, Lord, I don't know that any of us are enjoying this book, but I'm glad we're looking at it. And Lord, help us to be like Moses, like Samuel, pleading for our country, interceding. They don't know how far judgment is away, Lord. I'd like to think we have a long, long time left, but Lord, I fear our sins are just multiplied. God, pour out your spirit. Pour out a spirit of grace on this planet, on this specifically on our country, on our president, on the both houses of Congress, Lord, on the Supremes. Just pour out a spirit of grace and supplication that people would turn to you in ways that has never happened before. And Lord, that people would repent from their evil and see the emptiness and the futility of serving themselves and trusting in man and not trusting in God. And Lord, if that is not your pleasure, if that's not what you're going to do, well, just in this neighborhood, in this place, among our friends, among our family, can you do something there, Lord? I'd rather see the whole country come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and really become a righteous country, really become a godly country. But if not, Lord, again, can you be mindful of the ones we've been praying for right along? That you would bring many of our kinfolk and our friends to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.